Couldn't see it.
I got them right here. I think I told Robert the other day, I'm getting to that point where I need glasses, but I haven't needed them long enough to remember to bring them. Y'all remember that? Okay, that's where I'm at. So, but I did get them this time with the help of my wife. I was informed by the cafe staff the other day that I'm throwing the cafe into utter chaos. That now the Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, and all you Living Waters Church people all show up at the same time. So she said, what are you going to do about it? I said, I think you're going to deal with it. So anyhow, get your Bibles out. I got I got two little short sermons here. And a marriage I'm still on my marriage thing here. We went over how to communicate and finances and in-laws and all that stuff, all those things you need to, as a young married couple or even as an old married couple, figure out how to deal with. But this one right here is really useful, okay? All the women can just say amen at the end of it. All the men, listen up. Because this is how to decode what your wife is saying, all right? Young married guys, listen. Us have been married for a while. Listen, I told Tracy I'm going to call this Marriage 101. You know why? Because the men have not got out of 101 yet. We are still, you've been married 50 years, you're still in 101. You hadn't made it. All right, first, there's five terms a woman's going to use that you need to understand what they mean. Just a little short deal here. And you've got to also mix it with tone. Because just because they say something, you got to listen to the tone also. I was going to get my wife up here to do the tone, but I think I'll attempt it myself. But this first one is when you're in an argument and your wife says, fine. What that means is, this is the word women use to end an argument when she knows she's right and you need to shut up. Is that right? That is correct. Second one is when you ask her, honey, what's wrong? And she says, nothing. This is, what does it mean? Something, and you need to be very worried. All these are funny, but they're true. They're true. The other one is something like, this would be a scenario with my wife and I. We talked about going, you know, out on Saturday or something, but then somebody called and said, hey, Dwayne, we got a dove hunt on Saturday. And I tell my wife, I think I'm going to go dove hunting. Her response is something like, go ahead. That means, or it's not a mean, it's a statement that it's a dare, not permission. Is this, I mean, tell you, this is true. I did go dove hunting yesterday, but she was at a wedding. Another one is whatever. When she says whatever, that just means she thinks she's right. And the end of argument again. Last one, or not, yeah, no, there's last one, then there's a bonus word. That's okay. When she says that's okay, it means she's thinking long and hard about how she's going to get back at you. That's okay. The last one is the one I like the most. It's when she looks at you and goes, wow. All right? So this is not a compliment. She's amazed that one person can be so stupid. So, there you go. That's Marriage 101 right there. And if we can figure those things out, guys, you'll be far ahead. I mean, just no one to hush. All right, did y'all get your Bibles out? Did I say that? Okay. All right. First of all, I asked Frank this morning. I want to go over this first thing right quick. Did you know that San Antonio passed the gay and lesbian thing? I mean, they passed it. It was 8-3. in the city council. And basically, I haven't read it. I've just heard some stuff. So I was going to ask Maggie, but I asked Frank, and he pretty much agreed that we both heard this same thing, that basically what they're saying is you as a Christian, you can believe whatever you want to, but you cannot act on those beliefs. Go to James right quick. I didn't write down where it is, but It says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me faith, or show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You as a Christian cannot separate your works and your beliefs. You can't do it. Because you're going to do what you believe. Now, I don't know how this whole thing's going to play out in San Antonio, but the reason I'm saying this, just in this part, is it's been kind of an unspoken or maybe even a spoken thing in the church community that the church needs to stay out of politics. And I'm telling you, this is what happens when the church stays out of politics. We need to, you're the light of the world. Jesus says, don't put it under a basket. Your light needs to shine. And without you, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Quickly. And we're the ones who are the light and the ones to show everybody, to stand there and say, no, this is not right. This is what's right. But a story, that's not a story, it's actually happening. And I don't remember where it is. There's several cities around the United States that have already adopted this ordinance. And one of them, a gentleman owned a bakery. And you don't know what town this is in, do you? Did you hear that? I think it was in Oregon somewhere, but I'm not sure. Anyway, guy owns a bakery. He's a Christian. A gay couple comes in there and wants a cake for their wedding. He says, I'm a Christian. That goes against my Christian beliefs. I really don't want to bake your cake. Plenty of other places that he can go to find a cake, someone to bake a cake. But they chose to make an issue out of this. And now this gentleman, for acting on what he believed, is facing fines and possible jail time. Tell you folks, that's what's coming. If we don't, as Christians, get out and vote. You gotta vote. You gotta get involved. Evil thrives when good men do nothing. And I don't know who said that, but my wife says it all the time. But evil thrives when good men do nothing. And we have set, not this church, I mean, we are very active in going out, you know, and supporting Maggie. She goes to the state capitol all the time. But I'm saying the church world in general, anytime you have a chance to speak to someone, tell them, we need to get involved. Get out and vote. That's your most important thing. Just get out and vote. Because you say, well, what does San Antonio have to do with us? Not a whole lot right now, but that mayor that's in San Antonio is going to run for governor of Texas. At some point, he may not run this time, but he's going to run for governor. And I'm just saying, it's against your Christian beliefs. Now you're the one being discriminated against just because you're a Christian, just because you say, I want to live the beliefs that I have. Right? So, all right. Now the other one. See, that didn't take long. Just turn the page back in James. Look at James, and I've been on this one scripture for probably the last couple months just in my reading, where it says, in chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you do that? Let him ask in faith. If we as Christians could figure that out, we'd be living a whole lot more powerful life. Let him ask in faith. So how do you do that? With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So I've been trying to come up with in my brain, And I can say, okay, I'm going to say God put it in there because I woke up this morning with this example of how do you know when you're in faith? Because that's really important. Because if you know you're standing in faith on something, you can walk through the trial. If you know you're in faith. It's when the devil comes in there and tries to convince you that you're not in faith is when you have trouble walking through the trials. Because now you don't know if the devil's beating you up or if you're just standing there believing God. You don't know where you're at. So here's an example. Hope it'll help. It helps me. From my military days, I'm a very punctual person. If I tell you I'm going to be there at 7, I'm going to be there at 5 till, unless something is wrong. If I say I'm going to be there at 7 and it's 5 after, that means tires flat, couldn't find my dog, which happens. He run off and I'm looking for him. So in this example, let's just say, so you put yourself in my position of you, I'm just going to proclaim, all of you are punctual people. In this room right here, you are punctual people. And so you've got to be somewhere at 7 o'clock. And you need to leave by 6. And somebody's coming to pick you up. And you go, two different people. You're going to run the scenario twice. The first one that's going to come to pick you up, you know they're going to be there. They're one of these people in here that is a punctual person. So when it comes to 5 till 6, when you're ready to go, how do you feel? Isn't there something right in here that you're sitting there? Even if you're still sitting on the couch, you're watching TV, you're not concerned. You're just, you know it's going to happen. That is faith. It's the same feeling. It's the same whatever you're going to get when you're standing on the promises of God and you have that, whatever you want to call it, on the inside of you. That is, you're standing in faith. Now let's take it back to the other one. The person who's come to get you ain't never on time. But this is extremely important for you to be there by 7 and you must leave by 6. And at 5 till, how do you feel? You're looking out the window, you're looking at your watch, it's chaos on the inside. Has everybody felt that feeling? You know what I'm talking about. You are not in faith. Okay? That is the difference between the two. Now, all of it, to be in faith, you've got to be standing on a promise. Okay, we're past that. You got to have a promise you're standing on. But that promise, whether you're walking in faith or whether you're going to stand in faith or not, you've got to determine in your heart, of your hearts, you got to determine, is the guy who promised, can he deliver? Or will he deliver? Instead of can. You can say, yeah, he can, and that means someone else. But when you say, yes, he will deliver, now it's personal and it's to you. So if you can answer in your heart of hearts, yes, God will deliver what he said he'll do. You will be like the waiting on the person who you know is going to show up on time. Now, how do you get there? That's knowing God. That's, you got to know this God we're talking about. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, that's when you hang around people who know this God. You read your Bible. That's where the knowing God will deliver what he says he will deliver. I'm telling you, if you're standing there and you go, I'm standing in faith over this. This is what happens. Is people think they're standing in faith. They have chaos on the inside of them. Whatever they're standing in faith for does not come to pass. And they get mad at God because God didn't deliver. And it was never God's fault to begin with. Folks, you're in chaos on the inside. And if you're in chaos on the inside, the Bible says you're unstable in all your ways. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. So we got to get our, you know, you got to, you can't, you ever heard this when you point like this, how many fingers pointing back at you? Every time you point at God, it's coming back. Right here is where it's at. The smartest thing I ever did is told my wife one time, I don't have a clue why this is not working, but I know it's not God's fault. I know it's not God's fault, so therefore, it only leaves me and you. So what are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? And you just first understand what, because y'all all felt the feeling of the guy who's not going to show up. You know he's not going to show up. And the chaos you have because you're fixing to not be there on time. You know, that's the same thing as not walking in faith. And you all know someone who they're going to show up on time. You have no doubt about it. They're going to be there. And the peace you have on the inside of you, even at 5 till, you know they're going to roll up. And you're going to get there on time. Those are I'm going to call them feelings. You can call them whatever you want to. But those are the two things you need to discern from when you're trying to walk in faith. Now, look at Luke 1. When it talks about over there in James about if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, but ask in faith. The reason you need to ask in faith, and I keep saying this because I don't know if it's still real in my heart or not, but what God's going to tell you will not make sense. It's not going to make sense, folks, to the carnal mind. It does not make sense when God says, you're sitting there going, God, my bills are coming due. Lord, I'm a Christian. I believe what you say. The bills are coming due. What do I do? And he says, give somebody $5. And you go, God, that's not helping me. Now I got $5 more I got to come up with. See, it does not make sense, but that's what he says. And you know why he uses money a whole bunch of times in the Bible? Because it's relevant to your life. Not only is it relevant, it's one of the basic steps to get going. Because the Bible says if you can't serve, you'll either serve God or money. One of those two. So if you don't start off being able to serve God with your money, then you'll never get to the rest of it. That is just, everybody thinks, well, if I can just get to tithing. No, God said that's where you start in your spiritual walk. Because if God's got your money, the Bible says he's got your heart. And now he can start to work on the rest of it. But if you're not, like I said, I say every time I get up here, because I usually talk about that, it's after we take up the offering. I'm not trying to get you to put money in a plate. I'm trying to get you to start thinking about God's ways are not your ways. His ways are higher than yours. We have carnal thinking embedded in us, and you've got to get the carnal thinking out. And when you sit there and go, no way, that'll never work, that's carnal thinking. Because if God says it will, it will. It'll work. Look at, Luke 1. Glasses. Let's see where we're going to start. 26. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, an angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. Okay, here's the promise. Start in verse 31. This is a promise. This is just like you reading it in the Bible. Of course, she didn't have this promise to read in the Bible. Matthew or Luke wasn't written at that point. So this is her promise. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I do not know a man. Is that a legitimate question? That's an absolutely legitimate question. She hasn't said no. She just says, how's this going to be? That's just like you saying, God, my finances are in a wreck. What do I do? That's the same point we're at right now. There's a promise. God says, blessings, I will bless you. He said, you're the head and not the tail. He said that if you tithe, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot even receive or conceive. Think about it. You He can do more than you can ever think. That's where we're at in this story. The angels come, the word has been spoken, and she, just like you, would say, God, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. I was born in Utopia, Sabnow, Lakey, Concan. How am I going to be prosperous? How am I going to come to a point in my life where I can affect other people? Y'all see the coalition, the whatever that word is. Yeah, what was it? Correlation, yes. You see, you know where we're at. Okay. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, and the Holy One who is to be born with you be called the Son of God. Does that make any sense? Has that ever happened before? No. So it's not like she can go, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. That makes sense to me. Because, folks, if it makes sense to you, you probably come up with it. Didn't make sense to her, but what'd she say? Then Mary said, verse 38, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. See, it didn't make sense to her. And that's the whole thing I'm trying to get across. This Christian walk, what God asks you to do, will not make sense. Doesn't mean it won't work. Just doesn't make sense to you. And like I said, if it makes sense to you, you probably come up with it on your own. And if now you're saying, well, I don't know if I'm confident enough in my ability to hear God to tell me what to do. You don't even have to do that. Just go read it. There's plenty written down right here enough for you to do than see God move in your life. You don't even have to be confident that you can hear God for something. Just go read it. Find out what it says and do that. Go to John 2. Where Jesus turned the water to wine. It said, On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, it's amazing they were drinking wine. Anyway, and Jesus was there, and even made some. We'll go on. The mother of Jesus said to him, They have no wine. Jesus said to her, Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Now she's kind of acting like Jesus there. Because how many times did Jesus, the disciples come up there and ask him a question, and he went off on something totally different, but answered their question in a roundabout way that they didn't understand? It's kind of what she's doing here. Jesus says, What's this got to do with me? She looks over and says, You guys do whatever he says. And she leaves. She walks off. Do you know why she could do that? At this point in Jesus' ministry, he hadn't done any miracles. Do you know why she could do that and know that he could make it happen, whatever it was? Because she knew he was from God. She knew she had never been with a man before and became pregnant. She knew that. And that's the confidence you've got to have in Jesus, that he can do what he promises he will do for you. Anyway, she says, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were six water pots of stone. Does that make any sense? In the making of wine? Nope. According to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece, Jesus said to them, Fill the water pots with water. Does that make any sense? How about let's go get some grapes and start smashing? I mean, that would make more sense than fill it up with water. But they were doing what they were told, do whatever the man says. His mother said to the servants, No, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. Okay. You're the little guy pulling the water out. You know they're waiting for wine. You know you put water in there. You're taking a pretty big step to pull it out and go take it to them. I mean, they're going to look at you, unless they're all drunk, I don't know. But they're going to look at you like, why are you bringing me this water? But they did what Jesus said, and it worked. Somehow it got turned into wine before they got there. And right up there in verse 5, Mary says, you do whatever he says. And that's the whole point of this Christian walk. Do whatever he says. You say it don't make sense. Yep, you come up with it again. If it's making sense, you come up with it. It does not make sense to love your neighbor. Doesn't make any sense at all. Don't like it. Don't want to do it. But if I'm going to see God move in that area, if I'm going to say, okay, I have got an enemy. This guy's trying to hurt me. What am I supposed to do? Love him. Mm-mm, don't want to. But if I'm going to see God move, that's what I got to do. If you want to see Dwayne move, go the other way. And that's and once you step out and start moving, folks, you're on your own. You got to handle it. And some of may be big enough to handle it, and some may not. Depends on how big the other guy is. But in the end, if you want to do it God's way, you got to love them. One more scripture. Go to 2 Kings 5. Kind of a long story here. It's about Naaman, who has leprosy. But I'm going to read it just so we get the whole gist of it. Starting verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria, and he is also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captives, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Now Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus, saying, the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, I have sent you Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him from his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. That must be a Eastern thing. Why you'd tear a perfectly good shirt because you're mad at somebody else. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Elisha didn't even go. He just sent a messenger to him. He said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Does that make sense? Anybody ever been cleansed by leprosy by going and dipping in the water? Not that I know of. Maybe had, but not that I know of. Makes no sense whatsoever. Folks, that's the way God works. We just got to understand it. If you want to see him move, find out what the Bible says and go try it. Just go give God a chance, especially in your finances, because he says, test me in this one. You test me. But just a clarification, it's a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. It's you being confident that the lifestyle God says will, in the end, you will be more prosperous in the end than if you try it on your own. You say, well, there's a bunch of people out there prospering that don't know God. Exactly, and they're pretty good. But do you want the peace and stuff that goes along with it? Because that's worth a whole lot right there. When you can lay your head down at night and not have the worries, not have the ulcers, knowing that God is on your side. Man, that's worth a lot right there. And in fact, to see God prosper you. Where was I? 11. But Naaman became furious. How many of y'all have done that? I cannot believe that preacher told us to give. Can't do it. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. I know that's what the Bible says, but I cannot believe and get mad and stomp off. Okay. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and he'll wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He kind of had it figured out how all this was going to come about. How many of y'all have ever had it figured out how you think God's going to make it all come about? And it got shot down every time, didn't it? Did not make sense to him. But finally, you go on down through there. Servant comes up there and says, you know, if he had asked you to do whatever, you know, you'd have done it. All he did, he asked you to do something real simple. Let's go in there and dip in that river. Why don't you go do that? And he went and dipped in the river, and God healed him of his leprosy. And again, that's all I'm trying to communicate to you is find out what God says. It's right here. It will not make sense to you because we got a lot of carnal thinking going on. Some of it may, you go, well, that does make sense. If it does make sense and it's God's ways, it's because you trained your mind to think God's way. But that's the only way. When you first hear it, you're like, why would I do that? You would do it because God says so, and he's smarter than you are. And if you in your heart will judge him faithful, that he can accomplish what he said he would do in your life, you'll see God move. And remember, the way you determine that is just like the person who you know is going to be late and the person you know is going to be there on time. There's a different feeling on the inside of you when you're in both of those situations. Figure out where you're at. Am I resting in peace in this? Or am I in chaos? Am I in turmoil? Because if you're in turmoil, it's just time to go back for some more training. If you're in peace, wait it out. Keep proclaiming what God said, and you stand there. And if you stand there, God will do what he said he would do in your life. Amen? Amen. Got the prayer team? I have the prayer team up. Come on up. One other thing is, Ivan may have said this. I don't remember where I heard this, but I latched onto it like I come up with it because I thought it was pretty good. When someone asks you your opinion on something, gay rights, tithing, whatever it is, tell them you don't have an opinion. Because you really don't. Because this right here is your opinion. So I don't have an opinion on that. I'm a Christian. I do what God says. Doesn't mean you always do it, but that's your heart. Amen? Amen. Everybody stand up. Going to dismiss. If anybody doesn't know this Jesus we're talking about, come on up here and talk to one of these folks up here, because that's the very first step you got to make. You got to come in here and look at Jesus and say, you know what? I'll make you Lord. I may not walk with you every step of the day the way I should, but I'm going to proclaim that's what I want to do. Or if you have anything you need to pray about, you need agreement in anything, come on up. Well, Father, I just thank you today for your word. Lord, I thank you that it is a word that we put in our hearts, Lord, to keep and learn your word. Lord, to stand on your word, even though when it doesn't make sense to us, even when we are actually in chaos in our lives, Lord, that your word will bring peace on the inside of us, Lord, and we can stand and believe and see you work. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here, their faithfulness. Lord, I thank you that these people move mountains with your word, Lord, and we change nations in Jesus' name. Amen.